we assume or we assign an intention to our spouses, which may or may not be true. So being curious already and not assigning blame, we also must also be careful about just projecting or just assigning a certain intention to our partners, which may or may not be there.
Hello and welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I'm Delia and I am your host for this episode. If you are new to us, do subscribe to our Connect to podcast on your podcast platform. We believe you will discover interesting topics and helpful conversations. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, and so much more. We hope you will keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger in your marriage. Difficult conversations. The mere mention of these words can send shivers down our spine when we recall the tension and unhappiness that usually come with such conversations. To help us unpack this topic, I'm delighted to introduce a life and marriage coach, Wai Hung, here with us in our studio. Welcome to the Connect 2 podcast, Hung.
Thank you for the invite.
Begin by sharing a bit about yourself and your station in life with our listeners.
Okay, I would describe myself as a kind of retired. I have actually just completed 1 year, my 1 year anniversary for my retirement. So retirement is like balancing what is meaningful, that you're not doing things for money, and also that there is still a mission or an objective that you're trying to achieve. So I would say that I'm balancing productivity with meaningfulness in this stage of my life. So there are a lot of things that you do, like, you know, visiting old relatives, connecting with old friends, and so on, that doesn't add up to something that you can measure. But those are things that are meaningful, because you have always said that I have no time to do that during your work life. So that's the balance that I'm just going to. So in terms of productivity, I'm actually trying to do more coaching and also just, you know, spend time writing something stuff. Maybe about my family. I've been married 38 years. Teresa, my wife and I, we have 3 children, boy, girl, boy. All of them are working already, so we are not in that state where we are concerned about them. They are grown-ups. They are living their own lives. They have their own schedules. And I think most of all, we just need to be intentional to actually make time together and spend our time together. So we intentionally have to actually schedule for meetings, for outings, for even short holidays around the region.
Wow, I can't tell from how you look. You're actually very youthful. I can't tell that you've been married for 38, unless you got married at 18.
No, 12.
Oh, I see. Now that adds up. Yeah, because I recall bumping into you and Teresa at MacRitchie. And, you know, it was very nice to see the both of you taking a leisurely walk, holding hands, and, you know, enjoying each other's company, even making time for that. And I'm now hearing that you're also now very intentional about spending time with the people close to you. And that's something that is very aspirational, even for myself, to look ahead. It's good that you are at a life stage where you're all fired up to even bring meaning to the lives of people whom you care for. You spent some time, you know, developing this skills and expertise in coaching. So tell us more about what coaching entails and this whole thing about difficult conversations that you guide people through it. Can you tell us from your experience, what makes difficult conversations difficult?
I am not a natural conversationalist. So actually, I struggle with conversations from young. I am quite interested in this topic. And I think one of the things started with was actually trying to understand what makes conversation flows. And as you go on, you find that difficult conversations, you just don't know what to say. You feel tense in those conversations and so on. We have a lot of conversations, the hellos, the goodbyes, how are you, and so on. But when you come into more intentional and intense conversations, I think this is where we try to navigate. And sometimes, I think most times we avoid, because it's difficult. So these conversations get difficult when two parties hold very strong opinions or beliefs in it that are contrasting, and that they need to actually find some kind of resolution between these two beliefs to go on. So those makes things conversation. So first of all, in such situations, very strong emotions come through, because you are looking for a certain outcome that you think is best, but the other party thinks another outcome is the better one. The second thing is actually the stakes are high because of the outcome that you want to achieve. Then third, I think difficult conversations derive from this fear of conflict. What would this conflict do to our relationship? Mm-hmm. And fourthly, I think we actually have very low expectations or even expecting bad outcomes to actually derive from the conversation. So we tend to avoid difficult conversations and kick things down the road, or that we push things under the rug and just not face them head on. So when we get to such situation, I think there's a lot of things that we don't resolve. And when we don't have this courage to engage these difficult conversations, we put ourselves at risk of just not being to fulfill a lot of our desired outcomes or unspoken desires. And we get into this state of, we're not full, we're in a state of unfulfillment, or we fall short of the full potential in any relationships. So the promise on the other hand of being able to be bold and to want to handle difficult conversations is that we can then live fully, express fully what we are. We can present our authentic selves to the people whom we care about most. So that's why I think conversations is so interesting for me.
Yeah, and I think even as I hear you share, I can imagine that one very real difficult conversation that couples would face is even a scenario like caregiving. Whether it's caregiving for their elderly parents or caregiving for their dependents like children. And usually what's at stake, I mean, applying what you have talked about, right? Actually, what is at stake is they do care deeply. Both parties in the marriage care deeply for their loved ones, yet they might have different approaches with regards to that. There's also other things that come into play, whether it's if there might be health concerns, so like medical needs, etc., then that would then impact like financing. Then, of course, there'll be this other aspect about the dependent's own view or expectations on their autonomy. So there's so many dynamics at play, but this being something that the married couple needs to talk through first before they could even extend that caregiving support to their loved ones, it is a very difficult conversation to have, because it's not just for themselves, the two of them, but there will be, like, you know, one or two other parties involved. To top it off, maybe there might be even siblings that they need to also have difficult conversations. Yes. Also, it's layered on, right?
Yes.
These additional things about the relationship dynamics that they have with others in the extended family, and then also the expectations for roles and responsibilities between one another. From your experience coaching people through these conversations, would you have any suggestions on what might help to make these conversations more manageable?
Once I think we've past that first stage of that, we are motivated to actually engage and have the courage to engage in difficult conversations, we need to move to then, what do we want to do? Or what can we do to actually have these difficult conversations? And I think the first thing is actually be very open and even vulnerable, to be very open about all the options that are available. So we don't go into this conversation with this mind that I must win this debate, I must win this argument, this is what I want to achieve, and this is the only thing. To be open means that we actually are just exploring, and we try to make the conversation less tense by going away from this winning-losing mentality, and we just start to ask questions, start to actually explore what are the things that we need to. When we first enter into courtship, a lot of times we ask our partners to be a lot of questions, to discover them, to learn about them, to, you know, just make sure who is this person, how we match with them, and so on. Unfortunately, after marriage, especially the first few years of living together, we kind of settle into a status quo where we are just coping with our differences. We kind of like tell ourselves that, oh, we know we are like that, and so on. So I either cope with this or I avoid this. So when we do that, we are assuming that we kind of already know all there is about our partners and we don't need to ask anymore. And that is, I think, something that is a fallacy that we need to understand, appreciate, and then just go into this whole conversation with an open mind again and start asking questions and be curious about your partner. So to try to actually get through this, I think some of the things we need to do is to reframe our thinking before we get into the conversation or even during the conversation. The first thing, like I told you, one is actually just be curious. You know, you're not asking questions. You can ask questions to challenge. You can ask questions to get into gotcha moments and all that. But no, we ask questions and we want to be open to really understand what's the motivation, what are the things that you are thinking of, what are the things that we have not explored, what is actually the status of that situation itself. So the second thing that I would say that after we actually being open is that we need to actually be very aware that we are not in the back of our mind assigning blame to the person. We came into a situation because you wanted this, you did this, you think this way. So the blame aspect kind of like sabotages us into thinking that because you did this, that's why we are in this situation. I'm the good guy, I'm the okay guy, you're not the okay. So we go into that conversation with that perspective, it's not going to be resolved. So the openness and the mentality that, okay, we're not trying to assign blame. The situation is the difficult situation that we want to resolve, not the difficult person that you're trying to actually change. And then the third thing that we need to be careful of, and this goes back to the familiarity we have with our partners, that we start to actually assign intentions. Oh, you're doing this, you're doing this, your intention is that. We assume or we assign an intention to our spouses, which may or may not be true. So being curious already and not assigning blame, we also must also be careful about just projecting or just assigning a certain intention to our partners, which may or may not be there. So to be completely open, I think, is one of the things that we try to actually use to reframe our position. And I think once that openness comes, the conversation will become easier. Your spouse will also be just so much more open to actually share. And that already sets the platform to make that difficult conversation a little bit easier.
Marriage is one of the most rewarding things in life. Yet navigating marriage as newlyweds or an engaged couple can sometimes get overwhelming. Whether it's managing expectations of the in-laws, getting a good grasp of your family finances, or establishing good habits of communication and healthy conflict. Focus on the Family Singapore's Marriage Preparation Program aims to help you build a solid foundation in the early years and prepare you for the adventure of your life. Visit family.org.sg/C2Marriage Prep for more information today.
Well, you know, even as I hear you share, I was also just reflecting about a recent conversation I had with my husband. And it was very humorous, actually, now that I look back at it, because me being in the social service sector, I think I have grown very accustomed to talking about social issues or, you know, things that I am aware of with regards to the kind of services that are available, right, to different parts of the society that needs help. And I recall, like, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was just sharing with my husband about a certain kind of needs or social issues. And I think I used quite a lot of jargons back then, not realizing it. And he probably like nodded and, you know, just had that convo with me, or rather acknowledged what I was sharing. But it was only recently, like I think 2 months ago, a similar conversation came up again. And I repeated the similar recap of what I was trying to share with him about. And then he had this like, oh, I didn't realize that. Then I had a aha moment. So instead of like, why you never listen or never pay attention to me when I told you this like so many years ago, but yeah, I had an aha moment, meaning that I took for granted that it's something that I'm so accustomed to. It's part of my day-to-day life that I assume that he can grasp it. But actually, because we are in different industries, he's in tech, and obviously he lives in a very different realm, and he jokingly told me that if I throw this XYZ jargon back to you about tech advancements and everything, would you grasp it at the first time you hear it? And that's where we both laughed at it and realized that it is so important not to assume or even take for granted that we can fully grasp each other's intentions despite living together for many years or even thinking that we know each other deeply. Yeah, and I think learning to be curious is something that I am being more intentional to do now, even when we have conversations, because that shows that I'm interested to get to know your world and also get to understand your thinking around a certain situation so that we can actually possibly idea together on how we can tackle certain situations we might face in life collectively. Yeah, and I'm learning about that. It requires me to slow down.
Right.
because it's easy to just like jump ahead and like think through on my own, in my own frame of mind. If I was solely addressing this, I would do this.
Yep.
But now that we are actually in the context of, you know, a marriage conversation, it's not just about me. It's actually inviting my spouse's views as well and recognizing that he can value add in ways that I may not be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's true. And go back to what I said before. When we are living in this world that we have with our colleagues, with whatever and all that, and then we live with our spouses, we kind of assume that they know everything that we are. We know this is our daily life and all that. But they are actually in a different sphere. And because we are living together, we just assume that you know, you understand, you know. How come after so many years you don't? And that curiosity and that willingness to be very open, I think needs to be there. And I think you hit the nail on the head that we need to always be curious and not assume that we know everything.
Thanks for that. And actually, we do receive questions from couples about marriage. And in today's episode, we received a question from a husband who asked this. Each time my wife and I fight over a parenting disagreement, for example, she wants to spend on additional enrichment or tuition, but I see it as unnecessary. And she would tend to tell me, you always think this or say this, so no point talking, no point discussing. And I find that our conversations are going nowhere because we cannot seem to have a common understanding or resolve our differing views. Does this mean that we will forever agree to disagree? What do you think, Hong?
I don't think we can actually go to a state where we agree to disagree forever. Especially for very critical and crucial issues. We have to agree on some platform and we live with it. Because if you agree to disagree, at some point later on through your process, through your journey, you'll say that, you see, that time, we disagree, right? We should have followed what I said and so on. So I want to bring back this whole discussion to a place where we want to talk about what happens inside the conversation. Within a conversation, actually, there are three different conversations happening. The three conversations are the what happened conversation. These are the facts, the things, the situation. The second conversation is the emotions conversation. I feel this, I feel that. Sometimes it's very clear. Sometimes it's very hidden because we don't want to express our emotions or we don't know how to express our emotions. But the third thing, which is quite important, is the identity conversation. Mm. So these three things are important. Like I said, the what happened conversation deals with just facts and also interpretation of what happened. So in this case, why do you need tuition? The fact could be, the grades of the kid is actually no good, or that the kid is actually doing well, but he or she is comparing with the top person. And then she feels that, I'm not good enough. And there's a self-esteem problem. Then there's also the other fact that are the extra tuition. Where do we go? Are they expensive? Then if they are expensive, what are the things that we are giving up for this? So those are the so-called fact conversations that actually take place. The emotions conversation is the next level that we actually talk about. It could be that I feel upset because my child is sad. I really feel within and I think we need to do something. I feel very troubled or I feel helpless that I cannot help my child. The other emotion that could be is that, I feel that I actually don't want to burden my child. I feel that this is additional burden on the child that's not necessary. I don't want him to actually get the extra tuition and think that actually tuition or being good in grades is the only thing in life. It could also be basically that I feel that we are just not modeling our lives properly. The third thing that is important is that a lot of our emotions are derived from our identity or, in fact, identity threats. We think we are this person, but yet when we have this difficult conversation, it says something that contrasts with my values. And because my values are there, you are actually saying that, no, my identity is not validated or that my identity is wrong. So that gives us a very strong reaction to an emotions to actually just counter, and we become defensive, we can become even belligerent and so on, because underneath it is attack on who we are. So that identity conversation, unfortunately, sometimes or maybe even a lot of times are not identified. We know what happened, we kind of know that we are feeling this way. If we can be good enough, we can express our emotions. But sometimes we don't know what triggered that emotions, and we don't dwell deep enough to actually say that, oh, this is a threat on this kind of identity. So in the example that you say, one of the things could be that I don't want to actually say that results are the most important thing, because in my family, it has always been that the favorite child is the one who's actually done the best. Or on the other end is that, oh, my father used to cane me when I don't come in top three. The good results are the born out of pain. And the child needs to actually understand this. So you see the contrasting identities that actually bring up different emotions in terms of just this whole discussion about tuition. Mm-hmm. When we actually apply these difficult conversations and reframing, and we try to understand where our spouse comes from, it gives us a bigger platform for options and a better platform to discuss, okay, how do we actually then put this all together?
It is very insightful that you tell us and reminded us that on one hand, if we look at it as just solutioning, for example, tuition or no tuition, that's just solutioning, right? Yep. The disagreement at that level is functional, meaning we are just differing on our approaches. But if we actually plow deeper, and it's very important to actually go deeper in terms of whether there's an alignment in our value system, alignment in how we want to even guide our child in facing this particular situation, whether it's poor grades or even how the child is feeling about academics, right? It's actually really about the value system we're going to build in our family. And that is the more critical conversation to have versus the solutioning. The solutioning will follow thereafter once there's an alignment in the core beliefs for us as a couple. Yeah, and I think that is really critical for us to address these things together. Yeah, at the same time, acknowledging that when it digs so deep, right, because these value system or beliefs that we have do point back to our childhood. And that makes us feel so vulnerable to even go into that space. This is where couples do find it challenging to action on. And I do believe that we do need to talk further on this topic, actually, because it is something that many couples would now ask, what does it look like for me to actually be vulnerable and authentic, to open up into that space for me to share with my spouse when we have such difficult conversations. So for this part of the conversation, I just want to thank you, Hung, for being with us. And I've learned so much, you know, even from this conversation and this short chat that we've had. I look forward to our next episode, even as we talk more on this topic.
Thank you.
Thank you. So in each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples to do and share with each other. And if you are listening to this with your spouse, here's your challenge for this week. Think about the last difficult conversation you had with your spouse. What would you do differently after learning the tips that were shared today? We really hope that you've found today's episode helpful and encouraging. As always, do share this podcast with a friend who might benefit from it. Thank you for listening in, and don't forget, marriage isn't just about enjoying each other's company, it's also about building something meaningful together.